Welcome to Tech Insights from InfoTech Research Group, the podcast where our group of expert analysts cut through all the noise and focus on what really matters for technology leaders. It's a big week for Microsoft. For the first time in 6 years, a new version of Windows is expected to be released. We expect that Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella will take the stage and reveal Windows 11 to the world on Thursday. Of course, that follows a leaked early build of Windows 11 being released last week and making the rounds. So, in some ways, the cat is out of the bag. But there is still a lot we don't know about the big release, and to discuss what we do know and what we'll be looking at from the Microsoft event, I am joined today by InfoTech's infrastructure research lead, John Anand. Welcome, John.
Thanks, Brian. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you here. And I understand you even got your hands on that early release and you've been tinkering around a bit. So what's your first impression of it?
The very pre-early release, yes, from the questionable sources. But no, I was able to take a bit of a look at it to supplement some of the third-party reading that I've been doing on it. Honestly, Brian, my first reaction is underwhelmed. I mean, it's a bit of an interesting change on the UI. I understand, I think, where they were going with it from sort of the Windows 10X type platform. But yeah, I'm not sure there's a lot here, to your point, that with your intro to the podcast, I'm not sure there's a lot here that the business is really going to care about.
Right. That's what I was thinking, too. But we'll be looking to see what Microsoft shows us on Thursday and what they talk about there. I know the company always regrets it when an early leak gets out into the world because that's ultimately what people start judging it by. And that's not what they want. But
that's a remarkably fair point of view, Brian. That should actually be sort of highlighted more than I think it is. We as analysts tend to get really excited. Ooh, it's new, and we get the first chance at it. But that's a remarkably fair point. I wanted to call that out.
Yeah, you wouldn't be surprised to hear Microsoft says, "Oh, somebody got fired over that." Actually, but you know, I was thinking back to covering Windows 10 when it was released in 2015. Back then, I was the editor of IT World Canada, and I was at the Microsoft Build conference when that was released. And the major thing to note about Windows 10, other than the fact that Microsoft just blatantly skipped releasing Windows 9. Was the shift in the business model on the consumer side, particularly. You know, before buying Windows 10, John, you bought Windows. It was a transactional model. You went to the store, you got that cardboard box with the art on it, CD-ROM came out, and that's how you installed your operating system. And Microsoft used to profit from unit sales at volume. But with Windows 10, it was released as a free upgrade for most users, and that came with a shift to this as-a-service model. So instead of just focusing on one transaction with you, the customer, Microsoft is actually looking at the lifetime value of you being a user of Windows. And that's why you have to sign into your Microsoft account to use Windows now. It helps Microsoft create a profile about you so it knows what to sell you and what to advertise to you. I expect Windows 11 will continue that tradition, of course, John, and I don't think that anybody's going to have to buy this thing. I think it will be pushed out as a major update, just like Windows 10 has been updated many times since 2015, 6 years ago. You think so?
The last version of Windows, as I recall, I wasn't at the Build conference, but I was at the Microsoft launch event here in Canada, and I recall that was the branding. The last version of Windows you'll ever need to install, and here we are on version 11. I agree with you. I mean, Microsoft wants to move to a subscription model and monetize, you know, essentially the bare bones operating system that, yeah, they used to get, you know, money from manufacturers to install it, you know, as the default rather than Linux or, you know, perhaps something else 20 years ago, right? But that model just isn't compelling anymore, right? You know, I'm really interested to see how Windows 11 fits into the, you know, used to be called Azure Virtual Desktop. I think they're now rebranding it to Windows Virtual Desktop in Azure, and see how it fits into that strategy.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll get more into the business model of it later, because I don't think that we'll actually end up paying a subscription for Windows at any point here. I think Microsoft just wants to onboard as many people as possible into the platform. But the consumer model is different from the business model. And for businesses that are out there using Windows, IT administrators are going to have to plan on when to push the big update. And John, I'll look to you on this. How should they approach that decision?
Depending on the nature, the disruptive nature of the update, right? You know, so again, very much my not even beta, my you know, dark corner of the web version of it. You know, it's not a easy upgrade. It's not you know, so it's not even comparable to the major releases from you know, sort of 18 version of Windows to 20H2 version of Windows, or the 1806 version to the 20H2 version of Windows. So I would, if I was, you know, still an operational kind of guy, I would really carefully weigh the benefits of pushing out this update and the potential pain. And as I said earlier, and it may be not entirely fair, but I would be definitely listening to Sasha and Adela very carefully to understand what's the business benefit. What are they going to get out of it? Putting a start menu in the middle of a taskbar at the bottom of multiple monitors, fine. Apple did that, like, I don't know, 20 years ago. And that is not going to compel me as an operations manager to rush out and go through the pain of upgrading, you know, a major release of Windows, of an operating system across my, you know, tens of thousands of endpoints. It's just not.
Right. You know, and you're making a great point here, John, that this we're calling this Windows 11. Like, it gets the attention because it's a major new version release, according to Microsoft. But to your point, Windows 10 really isn't the same operating system that was released 6 years ago. It's been updated many times since then with major updates that just sort of get pushed out and installed. And I think most users that aren't technical don't really appreciate that because it still looks the same to them. So they still have the same concept of Windows 10. But the big change is in the look. So let's talk about that. In the leaks that were circulating the web,
the big change we see so far, too. I really like your point. I think that's important. But
that's right. Yeah, so far, what we know, and Microsoft hasn't confirmed any of this. It's an early build. But let's look at the big visual changes. I mean, the start menu itself is a lot different. It's in the center, sort of, as you say, right? Not over in the left-hand corner anymore. The icons are more like touchscreen icons that you'd see on a tablet. The windows have rounded edges, and in the start menu, you can pin your favorite apps to a tray at the top. So the Windows Live tiles are gone, right? Those little dynamic spaces that would update certain information. That's not here in this version. That's not to say it won't be in the full version, right? But this is what we're seeing. So you've been using it a bit, John. What are your first impressions of the visuals?
Again, sort of nice superficial updates, fair enough. I mean, it was definitely due for a rebranding just to sort of, you know, update the modern look and feel. If I was to compare this to sort of, you know, other things that we see periodic updates on, like sort of, you know, cars or houses, yes, this is a new coat of paint. This is a new sort of style on the interior, but I'm not sure there's, again, I haven't seen, and, you know, limited experience and with not, you know, sort of official copies, I haven't seen anything under the hood yet that is, you know, sort of decent. I mean, when Windows 10 came out, there was a lot of fanfare about the fact that when you're dragging Windows around, they become semi-transparent. Again, nice sort of look and feel. Does that improve the productivity of any of the people that I'm responsible for putting out this operating system and then putting a device in their hand with this operating system? No. So.
Yeah. Okay. A couple other changes to note. The Xbox app looks to be integrated into Windows now, not a separate download. And you'll be able to access the Xbox Store and Game Pass on Windows. So it looks like Microsoft is really integrating that as its main gaming channel into Windows. The snap controls. You know, usually when I'm snapping my Windows around my screen, I hold down that Windows key and press arrows on my keyboard. I'll probably continue to keep doing that, but now I notice you can sort of hover over the maximize icon and it'll snap, give you the ability to snap Windows to the different sides of your screen. And Windows widgets are also back here. And in fact, I even see this in Windows 10 today. So I don't know if this was an earlier introduction, an earlier part of this, but there's a little icon on my taskbar now that introduces the weather. And if you click into that, you get some news stories and things like that. So just a little overview of the changes that I'm noticing. Any other things you wanted to note there, John?
Only in, and I'm not trying to sort of be, you know, necessarily a naysayer here, but only in that none of these are particularly new. I mean, that notion of sort of, you know, Windows management and Snap too. I mean, if you've had a push button third click mouse wheel on your gaming mouse for, you know, longest time, that was built into that functionality and in Windows, not even sort of like as a Logitech or a Razer sort of, you know, driver pack. So, you know, that has they've changed the presentation, they've made it maybe arguably more available to people, fair enough, but, you know, it's not new. Widgets, it's weird to see those back, man. I mean, I remember when they came out in Windows 8 and consumed like 108% of my CPU just to be able to live display the weather. And you know, that was not a good thing. So we'll see whether, I mean, machines are more powerful, obviously. That was sort of the big problem of Windows 8 back then. We'll see whether or not that is a differentiator, right? Do we really, and again, you know, just as I'm thinking about it, going to a nice, clean, centered taskbar and now sort of having widgets to be busy and distracting seems at odd from a design philosophy. But, you know, I'm no Whitney American Museum of Art designer, so, or artist. So.
Yeah. You know, one thing we should note is that there's a new startup sound, John. And when you think about how many times you'll listen to this sound over the course of the next several years, it's pretty important that it be not annoying, but it got me thinking about all the Windows sounds that I've heard at boot up over the years, and I thought we'd play them for the listeners right now. Let's start with Windows 3.1. Windows 95. Windows 98. Windows Millennium. Windows XP. The classic, Windows 7. Windows 8. And Windows 10. And finally, yes, Windows 11. Let's hear that one more time.
And now that we've had that trip down nostalgia lane with the Windows startup sounds, what's the Windows marketing campaign launch for Windows 11? Is it going to be Start Me Up? Can we get the Rolling Stones back together? Is that possible, please? Oh, yeah. Can we get a hologram of people on stage?
Where are the Jerry Seinfeld ads? Let's get those back. Okay, let's talk about what the new version of Windows will mean to developers. I think that aside from using Windows 11 to mark a major change with the user interface, Microsoft wants to communicate a new direction for its relationship with developers. So Satya Nadella has been talking about this promise to unlock greater economic opportunity for developers and creators in Windows. And I think that will come in part from a new Microsoft Store. You know, John, the Microsoft Store to date, which is like the Windows version of the App Store, and it was first introduced in 2012 with Windows 8. I think it's fair to say the store overall has been a failure, There are many major applications that every Windows user wants that you just can't get in the store. For example, web browsers like Microsoft Chrome and Mozilla Firefox aren't there. You can't get Adobe Creative Cloud Suite, for example. There are other marquee software items. And it's because Microsoft has been very restrictive about the ways developers could package their applications for release in the store. The intention was to create better security standards and to make app experiences more standard across many different devices. But the strategy hasn't worked. What do you think, John?
If Satya Nadella can rest on his laurels in any way, shape, or form, it's in the nature of his rehabilitation of Microsoft's reputation amongst serious developers. Certainly first starting on the the Azure cloud side, on the server side, getting a community back where they don't look at Microsoft as a joke or as sort of a necessary evil, where developers are clamoring to develop on a Azure cloud as opposed to, an AWS cloud or sort of a build your own cloud. Watching if he can take that momentum and push it down into the desktop, that will be absolutely awesome to sort of do, what he did on the server side, push that down to the end user side. And it's a massive opportunity. A properly running app store can be massively effective when it comes to managing an enterprise fleet of PCs, right? Not having to deal with, SCCM or, Microsoft Endpoint Manager, having a centralized way to distribute apps, keep them up to date, monitor those. Again, the app platforms, whether it's Google or Apple or, the rather, as you said, defunct, not really operational Microsoft Store. They did it for security reasons. They did it for monetization reasons. But those elements of control are just those mechanisms of control can be just as valuable for the enterprise IT operator who has to deal with their own security, with their own entitlements, their own cost controls, their own asset management.
Oh, good point.
Let's talk about some of the overtures that Microsoft has already made to developers. It reduced its cut on the sale of games sold through the store from 30% all the way down to 12%. For non-game applications, it's at 15%. So that has to look competitive when you compare it to sales on the App Store, which still takes 30%, for example. So developers looking at that might think, hey, this is worth a try now because I'll be able to keep more of my money, more of my sales in my wallet. Another big change that Microsoft could make to be more flexible to developers is to allow them to release EXE files to the store. Yes, good old EXE files. Yeah, imagine those installing applications. That's how, in fact, most developers today prefer to package their applications for Windows. And they could also allow developers to manage their own updates instead of controlling them through the Windows Store. So that's what I'll be looking for on Thursday. What are you going to be looking for, John?
I'm looking for that silver bullet to make this worth the effort of going through the upgrade and going through the pain, Brian. That's the back end is remarkably lacking in terms of the detail. It's always sort of hard to get sort of that operational framework as to why this is going to be better. It's not what gets led with. What gets led with is, yes, rounded edges and a taskbar in the center. So what I'm going to be looking for on Thursday is very much the business rationale as to this is useful, not just necessarily neat and cool.
Yeah, and the IT desk is going to get a lot of people saying, hey, everything looks different. Where's my my start menu moved? Why is everything new and shiny and different? That always happens when these visual changes are made. And we should make the point, too, that with the new version of Windows 11, the upgrade is sort of inevitable eventually because there is an end of support date for Windows 10 now. And sorry, John, I didn't write it down, but I think it's sometime in 2025.
I didn't get the exact date, but yes, that sounds right.
Yeah. So be aware that at some point in the future, you will no longer receive Windows 10 support or else you'll have to pay for it. So thanks so much for joining me today, John, to run down, all of the things that we're expecting from Windows 11.
You're welcome, Brian. It's nice to be anticipating something, even if it's maybe sort of a cosmetic upgrade. You know, I hold out hope that there will be something sort of more worthwhile underneath the hood. And it's always fun to get excited about technology.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, and thanks for listening to Tech Insights. If you're going to come back here next week, we'll have another update for you on Windows 11 after we see what Microsoft presents and we get the official release of it. We'll update you next week on Tech Insights, so don't miss that. Come back and we'll tell you all the good stuff that we didn't get to today. And remember to subscribe to Tech Insights. We're available on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, and really wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Brian Jackson.